Chapter 58 Jack 9 Jack's son Valano, truthless of Shinovar, didn't have to sneak to get into the fallen city of Crossguard. King Elkar's guards barely gave Jack and his group a passing glance. The ease of the passage was almost insulting. Jack had been born into the tradition of his clan, trained how to misrepresent himself from the day he could walk. As a child, he had been required to adopt different personas before being given his evening meal. He would spend one day as a lord, the next as a beggar. He learned the stance of the soldier, the air of the craftsman, the step of the entertainer, and the humility of a holy pilgrim, practicing each mannerism so carefully that changing personas eventually came as naturally to him as putting on a different cloak. All of this was wasted in the East. The Crossguard soldiers needed to see only his Shin features before waving him into the captured city. The only Shin that came to the East of their own choice were members of the merchant clans, and these were the only Shin most Kanarans had met. Jack needed only the most perfunctory disguise to be believable. A waste. Jack ordered his servants forward with a barked command, spoken with an intentionally strong Shin accent. None of the Easterners would realize that his normal accent was far too light to belong to a visiting merchant, of course, but Jack wasn't about to let their ignorance spoil a good disguise. Still, he knew that if he did ever manage to get back his bondstone and return to Shinovar, his skills would need some serious refinement. Jack's men, a group of 10 soldiers who had been chosen for their Pac-Man-like appearances, moved forward at the command, carrying large packs on their backs. Jack stood, ostensibly overseeing their progress through the gate. His eyes flickered to the sides, however, doing a quick head count of soldiers on the city walls. There were fewer men than he had expected. King Elokar had obviously won Crossguard quickly, but he had done so at a great price. Avin's spies had estimated Elokar's army at 40,000 strong before the assault. Including the men camped outside, Jack counted barely 25,000 remaining. A heavy toll indeed, though Crossguard had obviously suffered worse. The massive gap in the city wall stood as a testament to King Elokar's corruption. The citygoers, both soldiers and townspeople, tried to avoid looking at the crumbled structure. Even they knew that the holy powers were not supposed to be used in such a way, yet Elokar's desecration had won the day, and Jack doubted any other Kanaran leader would have done differently. Honor was simply a word to these people. When the time came to test their devotion, beliefs crumbled faster than the Crossguard stones. This was not the first time Awakeners had been used in battle, and it would not be the last. Other than the wall, however, the city was remarkably hale. King Elokar was not so much a fool that he would allow the looting of his own city, and the people obviously knew this. While there was a strong military presence in Crossguard, the common citizens bustled about their business as if their local aristocracy hadn't just been purged in a bloody assault. In fact, Jack suspected that Crossguard was even busier this day than normal. Armies were good business. There was a reason Jack had been allowed into the city so easily. Now that the fighting was through, merchants from across the region would be flocking to Crossguard to relieve the soldiers of their battle pay. The city taverns, of both the lord and the citizen variety, were likely full every night, and the local whores busier than usual. Jack shook his head, stepping forward to trail after his pack-men. Something bothered him about the troop arrangements, but he couldn't quite decide what. It had been nagging him ever since he had first counted numbers while passing the camp on his way into the city. There was something odd about the way the camp was arranged. Unfortunately, while he had been trained to imitate a soldier, he actually knew very little about tactics or armies. He would need to gather more information and bring it back to those who could properly interpret it. Most importantly, he needed to discover King Elokar's plans. Fortunately, Jack had access to a resource that was often as informative as any spy or secret informant. "There," Jack commanded, pointing toward a large, if unimpressive, stone tavern built alongside the street ahead. A few gems given to a passing merchant on the road outside had given Jack the location. Every city had its preferred mercantile gathering places, most of them unofficial. If a man didn't have the skill necessary to discover the location, then he probably wasn't a good enough merchant to bother trading with. The packmen stayed outside as they had been ordered previously. They set down Jack's goods in a pile, then arranged themselves around to guard, similar to several other caravans worth of packmen along the street. A few barmaids moved among the groups, selling drinks from the tavern. Jack stepped into the building alone. It didn't take the tavern patrons long to give him a collective dark look, one quickly covered up by accommodating faces. Kanarans resented the Shin's sense of superiority in the same way a child resented his parents' freedom and control. While few merchants would willingly pass up dealing with their Shin counterparts, the sale of rare Shin goods was a very lucrative market, fewer still were respectful in their transactions.
"Friend!"
a voice suddenly called, as if to directly contradict Jack's thoughts.
"Here, drink with me! Barkeep, bring this man some good wine!"
Jack paused, careful and suspicious. The speaker was a tall man, not broad of chest, but definitely broad of voice. He was waving enthusiastically toward Jack with one hand, while at the same time gesturing toward a barmaid with the other. Jack approached carefully, and the man actually reached out and clapped him on the back with a familial hand, then gestured toward a seat at his table. The man appeared to be dining alone.
"Do I know you?" Jack asked.
"Never met me before in your life,"
the man said, shooting a glare at the barmaid and increasing the speed of his impatient gestures.
"However, whatever you're selling, I want to buy it."
Jack hesitated.
"What makes you so certain?"
"You look like a suspicious type," the man said. "You really should try to get over that. Bad for the health, all that worrying. Sit, sit! Barmaid, where is that wine?"
Against his better judgment, Jack allowed himself to be forced into the seat. The man, finally convinced that the barmaid wasn't ignoring him, slid down into his own chair.
"Why are you so eager to work with me?" Jack asked again.
"You know, you people shouldn't be so grim all the time," the man said. "That's why no one wants to work with the Shin, or that's what I think. Don't people smile over there on the First Peninsula? Or do you all just sit around and scowl at each other all the time?"
Jack gave the man a pointed scowl, an action that prompted a guffawing laugh.
"Explain yourself, or I will find another table," Jack said.
The man leaned forward, giving Jack an intense look and pointing with a firm gesture.
"Guess how many times I've worked with Shin merchants?"
"I really have no idea," Jack said flatly.
23 times,
the man said, speaking with his hands as well as his voice.
23 business deals. I count these things. Every good businessman should. Now let me ask another question. Guess how many of those deals went sour? None. Guess how many times I got cheated? Not once. You people are honest as stones, and if the other merchants don't want to work with you, then I say let the storms take them. I'll deal with any Shin who passes my way, that's certain. Devon Lael never passes up a good deal, and you, my friend, are the best deal in town. I know that already."
The man punctuated his remarks by occasionally slamming his fist against the table, each blow rocking the 3 different mugs that held his drinks. The barkeep delivered Jack's wine, and she got a wink and a pinch from Devon. Jack watched the exchange with dissatisfaction as he tried to read his companion.
It seemed incredible, but he could detect no falsehood in Devon's mannerisms. If the boisterous attitude was an act, then it was one that could fool even a trained Shin assassin.
"So, what is it?" Devon asked. "What are you selling?"
"You people never buy, I know that. It's always about what you can sell, as if our goods weren't good enough to take back with you.
You know, I'll bet that's why people don't want to deal with the Shin. You make them feel like Kanaran goods just aren't worth your time, which we both know is ridiculous. You really should work on that."
Jack paused. His Aleth was good, but he was less practiced at it than he was at Vaden. Following this man's conversation was a task unto itself.
"I see," Jack said slowly.
"So," Devon said, "goods? What are they?"
"Boots," Jack said. "I have 100 pairs with me as a sample, and could have 1,000 here within 3 weeks. I need a retailer."
"Boots, eh?" Devon asked, rubbing his beardless chin. "Shin work, I assume, yes? Good craftsmanship, those. You people really need to teach some of our people how to make them as good as you do."
"It's not in the art," Jack said, "but in the materials. We don't desecrate the holy arts to get our leather, but instead tan it from livestock."
"You see, there you go again," Devon said, pointing. "I love you people, but you really have to stop making excuses. Awakened goods are the same as non-awakened, and that is the truth. But I suppose if you want to keep your secrets, that's your business." 3 weeks, eh? That's too long, friend. Never can tell what will happen in 3 weeks."
Jack perked up immediately, sensing something in the merchant's attitude.
"What's wrong?" he asked. "King Elokar's army doesn't appear to be going anywhere soon. His kingdom just suffered from civil war. He'll need to stay here for a while and maintain order."
Devon shrugged with an exaggerated motion.
"I'm just saying. Well, you would do well to be a little less curious. It'll only give you worries, I say."
He paused, glancing at Jack with eyes akin to those of a performer demanding applause.
"If I'm going to work with you," Jack said, taking the prompt, "I'll need to know what you know."
"Well, since I know you'll keep quiet with it," Devon said with an eagerly conspiratorial air.
"Of course," Jack said.
"You see, friend," Devon said with an amazingly quiet voice, "there's another army coming here to cross guard. The king's forces might not survive another 3 weeks."
"Another army?"
Jack kept his shock from his face, but on the inside he cringed. Ovin's forces had been discovered. Well, it had only been a matter of time. But why then wasn't King Elokar running? Ovin's army was nearly twice the size of the Aleth force. Elokar had time to retreat, moving to the west to gather troops to his cause. Surely the lords who had been reticent to take arms against Crossguard wouldn't be so restrained concerning a foreign invader.
"Yes, indeed," Devon whispered. "When the tyrant Bane is done with dear King Elokar. Well, I plan to be gone from Crossguard by the time he arrives."
Jack froze.
"The tyrant Bane?" he asked. "Dalinar Kholin is on his way here?"
Devon nodded.
"I have it on very good word. The king's mobilizing his forces for battle again, but I doubt he'll last long against Lord Dalinar. Should have never executed the Parshan son, that's what I say. Bad idea, that."
Dalinar Kholin. That changed things drastically. More drastically even than if Elokar had discovered Ovin's army. Had Lady Yasna reached Kholinar then? Or was Dalinar's coming a coincidence?
"Don't know why I'm telling you these things," Devon said, sitting back in his chair. "Guess it's because you're Shin. Good people you are. Never lie. That's what I've been told.
I sure know I've never been cheated by one of your kind.
The thing was, Devon was probably telling the truth. Shin merchants did not break their word. They followed truth, and it declared that only the lower clans, the warrior clans, those who ruled to serve, could kill, lie to, or hurt another man. It was doubly sinful to cheat an innocent or a child, and Easterners counted as both. Jack's mind kept returning to Lord Delinar's impending arrival. Oven would want more information, numbers if possible.
"How many?" Jack said. "How many in Lord Delinar's force?"
"I really couldn't say," Devon said. "My source doesn't even know that. For some reason there's been some confusion amongst the king's scouts. I'm surprised nobody discovered the Tyrant Bane's armies sooner. True, it's moving quickly, without towers or chulls, but it got within 4 days' march of Krossgar before anyone brought word of it."
"That's because Arvin's death parties are riding the main roads, killing anyone they see, especially messengers on horseback."
For a time, at least, information in Alethkar was going to be very slow to travel. Elokar could be dead before the noblemen on the far side of the country even knew that Alethkar had been invaded.
"This information troubles me, friend Devon," Jack said honestly. "I think I shall retrieve my goods and bring them here anyway, however. After all, Lord Delinar's army is going to need boots too, eh?"
Devon laughed.
"That's true. You Shin are always so pragmatic. You know, you really should try to loosen up more sometimes. That's probably why people don't want to work with you. You're always so stiff. Always working. But if you're bringing the boots, we might as well arrange a deal. I'll watch for you in town when you return. Promise me you won't sell them to anyone else until you find out if I'm here or not."
"Of course," Jack said. "But I must be going now to make arrangements."
"Good, good," Devon said. "I'll see you another time then, friend. Remember your promise." "Of course I don't need to tell you that. I never met a Shin who lies."
"You just did," Jack thought, standing.